Radio, broadcasting by fast speaker from the heart of the Under Empire.
Okay, hi guys, welcome to the podcast. This is our Dark Elf Army Book Review Special Edition. We're just going to go through a quick look through the new book, see what's changed, see what exciting new toys they've got, maybe throw a few comments in there and say what we think of some of it. So it's me, no Dan today, but it's Chris here as usual, and we've got Math on special guest over Skype. And so we're going to have a quick chat through the new Dark Elf book. So,
sounds great.
Yeah, a lot of people have probably seen quite a lot of it off the internet, but I guess we'll kind of go through it, and maybe some of the stuff I've seen on the internet's not been right. So, yeah, so Army Special Rules, they've now pretty much all the elves, they don't apply to most of the monsters, but all the actual Dark Elves have got Murderous Prowess, which gives models with this special rule, but not their mounts, reroll all to wound rolls of a 1 when making close combat attacks.
Okay, which is so different from Hatred, that's nice.
Yeah, something a little bit different. I think it should be quite good, quite interesting. They seem to have made them pretty close combat focused, actually. I think I was kind of a bit worried if they got it on the shooting, that could all get a bit nasty. There's Hecate's Blessing, which is kind of similar to the High Elf rule. Basically all the sorcerers have got it, and they add +1 to cast when they're casting dark magic. So the Eternal Hatred is mentioned on the Army Special Rules, but not everyone gets it, so it's Hatred, but you get it every round, exactly as it was before.
Right.
So got Lore of Dark Magic, so they've revamped their magic lore, thank goodness.
Wait, real fast, go back. So they have Hatred, but they don't all have Hatred?
I think it's just defining Eternal Hatred in the Army Special Rules, because some of the, I think it's the Black Guard or the Executioner, some of the special units get
Eternal Hatred. So not all the core units have it, just some of the elite ones now.
Yeah, just some of the elite ones.
Gotcha. That's actually much better. Yeah, no more of that silliness.
Well, they've all got Always Strikes first, though, so they get their rerolls. It's probably better than Hatred was, so. So that Lore of Dark Magic's been redone quite a lot. So Power of Darkness is now a signature spell instead of being like a bonus extra spell. It's 8+ to cast, and now instead of just giving them d3+1 dice, it gives them +1 to strength to the models in the caster's unit, and +d3 power dice. But if you roll a 3, you take a wound. So I think that's quite a nice way of balancing it. I think it'd be quite interesting. The +1 bonus to strength would be really good, but because it's only on the caster's unit, you're probably not going to want it on your combat unit. So hopefully we're not going to see people spouting Power of Darkness again and again like we used to do.
Yeah, exactly.
There are other signature spells. Doombolt, which is 18-inch magic missile, 2d6 strength, 5 hits. Or they've got a 24+ to cast version that has 4d6 strength, 5 hits, which should be pretty nice.
That's not bad at all.
Yes,
you said the lower one was 2d6 strength 5?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's basically warp lightning.
Yeah, pretty much, but 2d6. So.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. What else have we got? We've got Chill Winds, another magic missile, 2d6 strength 2 hits. They've got Word of Pain, which is a hex spell, -d3 to weapon skill and ballistic skill. What's we got? Blade Wind, another direct damage. Every model in target unit must pass a weapon skill test or suffer a strength 4 hit. That's quite interesting.
It's not too. What's their ulti? Their big one, their nasty one.
The nasty one is Anzipal's Black Horror, Magical Vortex. Artillery dice multiplied by the caster's level that it moves. Deal with it. Any model touched or passed over must strength test or die. No arm saves.
Strength test or die for a vortex, though?
Yeah, but you do get a ward save. So if you get a ward save, you don't die, basically. So
it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not quite as nasty as
Dwellers, for instance.
Yeah, not as nasty as Dwellers. Probably not quite as nasty as Purple Sun, either.
No, Purple Sun had no ward save, if I remember.
No, no ward, no saves of any kind on Purple Sun, which is no function. It didn't do wounds, but you, it specifically states you get a ward save, which is nice.
Right.
What else do they get? They get Soul Stealer, which is a template which you get, caster gets wounds back. Well, gets extra wounds up to a maximum of 10 wounds, so that should be pretty interesting. And they've got Shroud of Despair, which is another. You don't lower the leadership, but it's kind of a leadership damaging one, so you can't. You don't get Hold Your Ground, you don't get Inspiring Presence. And you do get minus one leadership. So, yeah, so it's like a leadership bombing one, which. It's quite a lot of anti-leadership stuff in, so I think we'll probably mention some more of it as we go along, but I think that might end up being quite an interesting build with them, that they end up with a lot of stuff to kind of mess up your leadership. So, Black Armory, Pendant's Gone.
Gotcha.
Sacrificial Dagger, which...
It's about time.
Sacrificial Dagger would be the one everyone's interested in. 25 points now. It basically does what it did before, but you have to roll a 4+. So you sacrifice a model, on a 4+ you get a power dice.
What's on a 1 through 3? Just nothing? You just don't get punishment?
Anything. No, you don't get anything. But you can keep going, so if you don't roll a 4+, you can sacrifice another one.
Right.
And another one, and another one. So it's good, but it's probably not...
Oh, so it always sacrifices a guy, it's just on a 1 through 3 you don't get a dice for it.
That's right, yeah. So
it's a much more high-risk versus high-reward situation.
Yeah, you could take, you know, on average it's going to be two guys per power dice.
Right, exactly.
You know, sometimes you might have three or four guys, with a bit of luck, you'll lose half the unit. Still got the Black Amulet, the 4 at ward save that bounces the wounds back. Still got Ring of Hotech, mm-hmm. but it causes miscasts on double ones and double sixes, not any double. Banner of Naggarith gives the unit Unbreakable.
The whole unit gains Unbreakable?
All models in the unit carrying the banner of the Unbreakable special rule, as do any Shadow Walkers or Shadow Warriors from within 12 inches from height from the High Elves.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's not too bad. It's expensive, so I think I think at 100 points it's probably BSB only.
Yeah. But if it's in a unit that doesn't have like a Cold One unit I could see it in with a BSB mounted on something to give them a decent-ass armor save.
Yeah, I think that's
but... Cool. Otherwise, I'm going to say not that scary, because you're going to run into the biggest issue, which is you're just going to... I mean, you're an elf, you're tough 3, you're going to have, what, a 5-up armor save, maybe a 4-up with a shield?
Yeah, that's it.
You'll be high weapon skill, but who cares?
Just smash the BSB out of the unit and stop worrying about it.
Exactly. So you'll be unbreakable for 0 turns.
Yeah, well, you know, that's good for everyone who's not a dark elf. It's one of those that's nice. It'd be kind of nice for 25 points, but I think, well, it'd be ridiculously broken at 25 points, but nobody will take it at 100. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so kind of on to what's actually changed with the list itself. So in the Lord's section, still get Malekith. He's 510 points now, so he's had a fair old price drop. You can still put him on, you still put him on a Dragon or a Cold One or a Cold One Chariot, so he gets pretty expensive with the upgrades. He's still got Marathi, he's still got Crone Hellebron. I'm not going to go through the special characters in detail because I'm not really interested in them, to be honest. He's still got Malastark Blade.
For Malastark competitive Blade play anyway, anyone? Most of them don't allow special characters.
Yeah, that's right. So the Dreadlord, he's 140 points now, so I think it was 160 before. I think it's a little bit of a drop. You can take all the mount options for him. So all the mount options that anybody gets are Dark Steed, Cold One, Dark Pegasus, Manticore, Cold One Chariot, and Black Dragon. Most of the heroes don't get the Dragon, but just about everyone can be on all the others. Supreme Sorceress, 185 points now, 35 points for the upgrade, so I don't think there's much change there. So all the mounts, including the Dragon for her.
Excuse me.
So lords, got a couple of new lords, actually. Some of them quite interesting. They've got a High Beastmaster. So this guy's 300 points, but he comes with either a Manticore or a Scourge Runner Chariot, which we'll kind of talk about later, included in his points. Same stats as a Dreadlord. His extra rules, he gets Beast Slaver. So any monster in any monster within 6 inches, you can give it +d3 attacks. So it starts to churn quite a lot of attacks at the Hydras, or I guess whatever he's riding.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know what I think about that. Kind of a combat lord on a Manticore. So, no. I guess if you were going to take a fight, you'd Dreadlord on a Manticore.
It's a monster. Taking. It's the same risk as running any lord on a monster. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get the benefits of the general, but you're going to have the risk of getting shot to bits by pretty much everything. So, I mean, Manticore stats are not bad.
No, it's a decent. I think if you were going to.
I remember
run,
they were pretty better than a Griffin.
Yeah, they're the same as the ones in the Warriors book, but I can't remember exactly what that is because not that many people use them because of the same old problem that you get cannoned off it. I think I'm not sure he's entirely worth it, but I think if you were going to run a Dreadlord on a Manticore, then you might as well take a Beastmaster instead. And so the other one's the Black Ark Fleetmaster. So he doesn't quite have the same stats as the Dreadlord. He loses point of weapon skill, point of ballistic skill, and a point of initiative. He's still got still got three attacks, still got three wounds. He's 155 points, so he gets this show no weakness special rule that I'm kind of a bit baffled by. So if he's in a challenge, or if he's killed a character that turn, then he's unbreakable.
So he issues a challenge. The challenge is accepted. He kills the enemy in the challenge. His unit is unbreakable, or he is unbreakable.
Well, he's unbreakable, but I can't remember exactly how it transfers. Now, if he's unbreakable, does that transfer to the unit?
In 90% of situations, no. In fact, one second. I'd have to look it up real fast. The Stubborn Crown does for sure. Give me one second. Why is my book on the other side of the damn room?
Okay, so welcome back. We've had a shuffle through his rules. And all the models in his unit gain unbreakable. So
that is that's a little disgusting. Depending on what his stats are.
Yeah, well, he's not quite as he's kind of weapon skill, ballistic skill 6, strength 4. Initiative 7, 3 wounds, 3 attacks. He comes with light armor and 2 hand weapons and a sea dragon cloak, but he can take 100 points of magic item.
He can take 50 points of magic items.
Yeah, he's. I don't know, it's a weird one. I'm not. I could kind of see. I mean, I think it'd be great if you could stick him on a. Pegasus or something.
How many wounds?
He's got 3 wounds.
3 wounds, so he's definitely Lord, but then. Sorry, I'm just trying to think of how we run this guy.
Yeah,
so what separates him from a Dreadlord then, stat-wise? So he's weapon skill... Dreadlord's weapon skill 6.
No, Dreadlord's weapon skill 7.
Yeah, 7.
So he's down a point on weapon skill. And that's it, basically. He's down a point on initiative compared to a Dreadlord as well.
So he's 1 point slower on weapon skill and initiative, but compared to every other Lord-level character in the book, he's basically identical. So...
I don't anticipate seeing very many.
Is there any rule that says he can't be the army's general or anything?
No, he can be the general.
Huh. That's really weird, because the rule that powerful just suggests to me, it's just like, I don't see any reason why I would not want to take this guy, other than the fact that, I mean, I guess there would be some situations where an opponent could kind of basically... unbreakable is not always the best situation. If you get into a combat that you know you can't win, you want to be able to run from it whenever you can. So, in this situation, I mean, if your opponent challenges you, and unless you want your character to go to the back, which means you'll definitely lose the challenge, you'll definitely lose the combat, then... I don't know. I mean, you'll definitely end up either...
Yeah, I can't quite get my head around that one. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, if he does make the challenge and they know that they're going to beat the unit, wouldn't he just refuse the challenge?
Yeah, but I mean, if it's a unit that has a character in it, he gets to pick your character and probably win the combat anyway.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the matchup of the units, but I kind of always think anything with challenges is a bit dicey because they don't have to accept them.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's interesting. I guess we'll get to see whether people want to play it or not. So in the hero section, we've got Shadowblade, Loki of Fellheart, Then we've got Kuran Darkhand, who I think is a new one. He's 180 points. He's got ridiculously high weapon skill. He's immune to psychology. There's quite a few different. He's stubborn. So I think he's like a Blackguard special character. And they've got Talaris Dreadbringer, who I think is King Special Source. So I think he's an Executioner special character. So a couple of nice new hero special characters. We've got Sorceresses, so they're 80 points now, which I think is a drop, and then you can upgrade them to a level 2. You still get your Masters, so again, you still have your Master as your BSB, or you can take a Death Hag as your BSB. Death Hags are 85 points. They can only take magical weapons as their magic items, so you can't tool your Death Hag up with world saves or anything.
Right.
But you can put them on the shiny new Cauldron of Blood. So we'll talk about that when we get. Oh no, we're about to talk about the Cauldron of Blood now. Which I think that has to be. A character mount, doesn't it? So you can't take that as a rare.
I was gonna say, if you can take that as a rare, that would be. Depends on what the rules are currently. So.
So it looks pretty good rules wise. Actually, they've. So it's a chariot, but it doesn't have any mounts pulling it, and it can march. So it's movement 5, and it can march.
Okay.
But it's not pulled, it just magically goes along. But it can join units.
One thing I'll point out right there, it's classified as a chariot.
Yeah.
Initiative test, die. Ooh, that's still lovely.
Yeah, it's good initiative with the Witch Elf crew on, though, I guess. Oh, no, what? You just fail them, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, nice. That's the point. If it's a chariot.
Crack's call it is.
You just drop down that Crack's call hole. note to everyone out there. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so
what does it do?
Strength 5, toughness 6, 5 wounds. What does it do? As well as being a chariot, can join units, and it kind of has to go in the middle, just like the Screaming Bell.
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's quite. You can kind of use it two ways. It's got Blood Shield of Cain, 5 at ward save. Any models in the same unit as it get a 5 at ward save. Oh no, sorry. Witch Elves, Hags, and Death Hags in the same unit get a 5 at ward save. If it joins other units, it gets a 6 at ward save. Or other models do get a 6 at ward save.
Okay.
It's got a bound spell that gives you like a super frenzy. So, it gives you frenzy, but if you've already got frenzy, it gives you an extra attack. So you can get like double frenzy with it. And this is quite an interesting one. So Strength of Cain, friendly models with the Murderous Prowess special rule in units within 6 inches of the Cauldron of Blood, reroll all failed to wound rolls. So the Murderous Prowess rule that they all get allows them to reroll close combat failed wounds if they roll a 1. But this just says reroll all failed to wound rolls. So unless... As I'm reading this, kind of as the rules written, doesn't have to be close combat. So you're determining whether or not the models are affected by having the one that only goes in close combat. But as it's written, it's all fail to wound rolls. So your magic, your shooting. So, I don't know. I think I'm not convinced that's entirely what they're intending. But if you castle up a nice shooty list around a Cauldron of Blood, that's going to be brutal. So, yeah, we'll have to see how that goes.
Read out the rule once more.
Okay. Friendly models with the Murderous Prowess special rule in units...
Which is the reroll all ones.
Which is the reroll all ones in close combat. All reroll, all fail to wound rolls of 1 in close combat. Within 6 inches of the Cauldron of Blood, reroll all fail to wound rolls. So, I kind of... It's hard to see what they intended, isn't it? But you kind of...
I'm sure that'll get FAQ'd to close combat attacks only, because I'm almost 100% sure that's the intent. But as it's written, I actually agree with you. I think that could definitely be abused pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was having an argument with some friends over it earlier. It kind of depends how you look at it for the intent, because mentioning the Murderous Prowess special rule, intent-wise, kind of makes it so that it's only elves, so it doesn't affect harpies, it doesn't affect beasts, etc.
Right.
If you see what I mean. And it's kind of, you'd say Murderous Prowess special rule is like another way of saying just Dark Elves. But, yeah. So that could be what they've intended, and they could have just used it like that, or they might have meant it affects that rule, but it doesn't say it affects that rule, it says right. It affects. So, yeah, that could be brutal. Yeah, and then Will of the Gods is the... Yeah, it's just the rule that it can join. Yeah, so it don't do quite all. It don't do quite all the shiny stuff it did before, but it does give everybody in 6-inch rerolls to wounds, and gives everyone in the unit that it's in a 6-up ward or a 5-up ward if they're witch elves.
Right.
Which is pretty nice, and they're 190 points on top of your death hag. So I think we'll be seeing a lot of Cauldrons of Blood.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's no reason not to take one, that's for sure. I mean, they're pretty cheap too, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, they'd be kind of be like 175 with the hag on top. But
that's still pretty cheap.
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, I think... Well, so we're nearly on the core, but yeah, so the only thing left in heroes, they've put the assassin, finally, they've put him into the hero slot, so there's none of this ridiculous, is in core, but don't count for core that we had previously. Assassin's right. Simp were taking quite a big hit, so they're 90 points now. They're still great weapon skill, great ballistic skill, great initiative. You can't give them rending stars.
Oh, God,
anymore.
They have great ballistic skill to use with all their incredible shooting weapons.
Yeah, well, they don't. There's no rending stars now, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they've got throwing stars, but that's it. They take 50 points of magic items, so I guess you could probably give them something. But they've got three different poisons. They've got... Black Lotus, I think, does your leadership. They've got one that does. You've still got Manbane, so plus one to hit and to wound. Plus one to wound.
Right.
But yeah, the assassins don't... They still don't look... Dogs are good Skaven assassins, basically, so I'm happy. So the core units, they've got the one that's been rumoured for a while, so this triple box with the spearmen,
the sword, spears, and expos.
Yep, so they've got called Dread Spears... Dread Spears, Bleak Swords, and Dark Shards. So, Dread Spear, they've all got light armour. Spearmen have got spear and shield. The swordsmen have got a hand weapon and shield. And the crossbowmen have got just got light armour and a crossbow. So, the 9 points each for the melee ones, 12 points for the with the repeating crossbows. They can all take magic banners up to 25. Well, they can all take one unit of each can all take a 25-point magic banner, and they can all take shields if they well, they can, yeah, the Dark Shards can take shields if they don't already have them. So, I think there's probably about the same price, maybe a little bit more for the crossbowmen, and then the it's obviously quite
but,
a big
but you give the crossbowmen shields, and they act the same as the swordsmen for all intents and purposes, and they're, you know, super awesome ranged units.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
So it's the same. Basically, they haven't fixed the problem, which was the expos were just too good of a core choice.
Well,
so,
I
unless
the
they've changed how repeated crossbows work.
No, repeating crossbows still multiple shot 2, strength 3, armor piercing.
Yeah. So they're identical, which means that they're just. I doubt we'll see any core choices out of Dark Elves that aren't either a big unit of spearmen hoping to get basically. Mind Razor off, or
The crossbowmen.
Let's see, or a units of crossmen just abusing the fact that crossmen are awesome. So,
well, what we might see is witch elves, because witch elves are core now. 11 points a model.
Oh, they're core now.
Yeah, witch elves are core now.
Interesting.
Yeah, so. Only equipment's 2 hand weapons, 11 points a model.
Mm-hmm.
Always strikes first, frenzy, hatred of high elves, Mantis of Cain, which is, I think, the.
But their initiative, what, with always strikes first?
Their initiative 6 with always strikes first.
So they're pretty much always going first.
Yeah.
Well, not always going first, but always getting that lovely extra reroll on top of their. You know, striking first.
Yeah,
so which is. That's not at all silly.
Yeah, so the witch elves are going to get 3 attacks each, so an additional hand weapon and frenzy. Reroll their misses. Reroll 1s on their wounds. Or if they're near a cauldron, reroll all their failed wounds. And they've got poison. I mean, I know they're only strength 3, but they're going to throw out a lot of strength 3 hits.
Yeah. And strength 3 poison is not half bad either. I mean, all you got to do is start rolling some 6s.
Yeah, that's it. And then, like I say, the Cauldron's got a bounce spell to give him the extra attack. Or there's a Witch Brew, which is an item you can take for the Death Hag, that gives him this special boosted 2 extra attack frenzy. So you tend to quite easily be getting 4 attacks a model off the Witch Elves in the front ranks. It's like 60 attacks from a horde with poison, rerolling misses.
Right.
They're going to hurt. So they've also got Dark Riders are still core. I think they've come down a couple of points a model. They're 16 points now. You can give them shields, which doesn't stop them being fast cavalry anymore, so you might actually see some with shields. You give them repeat crossbows. Yeah, so very similar to what they were. Corsairs, again, they're 9 points each.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the same as they were. Can you still give them handbows?
Yeah, still, I was going to say, what's the situation on handbows? Because they were the other pretty awesome option.
Yeah, handbows have been slightly buffed. They're now same as they were, but they're 12-inch range.
Okay.
So they're quick to fire, armor-piercing, strength 3, multiple shot 2.
Right.
So yeah, so they're quite nice as well now. So that's it for core.
Actually, it makes the option of taking them, you know, somewhat viable instead of the always defaulting to two-hand weapons, because, you know, two-hand weapons are awesome.
Yeah, two-hand weapons are pretty nice. No, you can't give them the frenzy banner and stuff anymore now, thank God.
Oh, okay. Well, takes them down a little bit.
Yeah, but you can still cast the frenzy spell on them from some of the other units, so. Special units, got Cauldron Knights, 30 points a model, so, pretty much the same. Cauldron's got 2 attacks now, same as the Lizardman ones.
Right.
Yeah. Lance, heavy armor, shield, and then thick skinned on the Cauldron, so I think we'll get 2 up save. So you've got Blackguard, 15 points a model. So these get the Eternal Hatred.
Gotcha.
They also get Stubborn. We've got Halberds and heavy armor. So, they look pretty tasty. Shades at 16 points a model, I think that's about the same as they were before. Light armor for a point, or you can give them additional hand weapons or great weapons for 2 points a model. So you used to kind of see them with additional hand weapons or with no upgrades before.
Right.
Now they've got always strikes first, and they're initiative 5, I can see great weapons being a pretty good choice on them.
Who are these guys again? The Blackguard?
No, the Shades.
Shades, okay.
Yeah,
Shades can take great weapons?
Yeah, well, they've always been able to take great weapons, just no one ever did, because you took them in units of 6 and it gave you always strikes last. But now they've got always strikes first, they'll be going on their initiative 5. So might start to be a viable option for getting in for warm as well.
So they're basically trying to also, it sounds like, make amends to the fluff players who have pointed out that it makes no sense for Dark Elves to have like all this stuff that doesn't allow them to strike first when all the High Elves do. Literally the same exact race that have been studying war for the exact same amount of period.
Yeah, I never really got why High Elves got always strikes first and Dark Elves didn't, and Wood Elves didn't. I mean, I guess Wood Elves don't because the book's ancient, but I didn't really see why Dark Elves didn't get it. Shades still look pretty good. What else we got? Cauldron Chariots, they're 115 points. I think they're about the same as they were. Strength and Toughness 5, 4 wounds. Executioners, 12 points a model. Great weapons, heavy armour. But they're going to be pretty nice now with the... Obviously, they've got their good great weapons, but now they're on always strikes first. They're going at initiative 5 as well.
Right.
So we've got Bolt Throwers, they're now the same as the High Elf ones, down to 70 points.
In other words, not stupidly underpowered in comparison.
Not as stupid as they were. So they're still special, but you can take... There's a note that you can take 4. So, yeah, so you can have up to 4 Reaper Bolt Throwers. Harpies are in special now. 15 points
that's
a model.
Good.
They've lost the Don't Cause Panic on Dark Elf units, which is nice.
No more harpy spam for little guys.
Well,
though, if that's starting to happen for that kind of chaff, then I'm curious as to what will happen to rat darts when the Skaven book comes out.
Yeah. And the other big new thing in the specials, the scouts. A bit of a nightmare to pronounce. Scourge Runner Chariot, I guess.
Uh huh.
It's 150 points. Strength 4, toughness 4, wound 4, chariot. And it's got a Ravager Harpoon on it. So it's a strength 7, 24-inch range bolt thrower. It does D3 wounds, but what it also does...
You're cutting out there a little bit.
You hear me all right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what it also does is if you wound with it, it drags, and if you wound a monster with it, it drags it 3 inches towards the chariot. And if you roll a three or more, or is it four or more, it does it an extra wound. So that's so I'm not convinced by the dragging the monster around rule, but I think the strength 7 bolt thrower is pretty shiny. Oh, excuse me. So what are you into now about the Hydra? So, 160 points. But it's not monster and handles anymore, it's just monster.
Gotcha. So no more whining and complaining and trying to figure out what all the hell that extra stuff means. Good job, Games Workshop.
Yeah, so no handle save, no... Got rid of all that. It's now got attacks 3+. So it gets 3 attacks... plus 1 attack per head that it's got left. One attack per wound that it's got left. So each wound's a head, effectively. So it gets 8 attacks, but if it takes damage, it that'll reduce.
It's even more influence on... I'm assuming that the fire breath is still the same, though? The strength is based on the amount of wounds left on it?
No, I think the fire breath is a set strength now, but fire breath's an upgrade. It's 20-point upgrade to give it flaming breath. But yeah, and so the other rule it's got is at the end of the turn, for every wound it's taken, you roll a dice on a 4+, you get a wound back. So it's lost its regen.
Ooh.
So if you can kill it, yeah.
That may be better, though, because now flaming won't have an effect on that unless it specifically does say that flaming wounds...
No, flaming doesn't. Flaming doesn't have an effect on it. But it's an interesting one. Basically, if you can kill it in a turn...
So if you kill it in one turn, yeah, then you're great. But if you can't kill it in one turn, then it has a much higher chance of actually coming back in that case.
Yeah, that's it. I can see a situation, you know. I mean, normally, you kind of... Your monster, you know, you maybe with your help it, you go down one wound and you kind of run off and hide somewhere. But with the Hydra, you get out one wound, you're going to run off and hide somewhere, and then maybe...
And then you're going to actually pop back up.
Two or three turns later, you're going to come back. So,
this is at the end of every turn, right? It's not just one.
Yeah, that's right. At the end of every turn, the difference between the wounds it can have and the wounds it's got, you roll that many dice.
Now... Is it the wounds that it's lost that turn, or just the wounds that it's lost entirely? So, like, you know, beginning of the game, it starts with 6 wounds, loses 5. Okay, so every turn, like, next turn it rolls 5 dice, it passes 2, so it gets 2 wounds back. Does it then the next turn roll 3 dice, even though it lost those wounds?
Let me dig it out, but I'm pretty sure that you get,
How much does this thing cost again?
160 points.
God damn it. Games Workshop, you're supposed to nerf this thing into the ground, not make it more powerful.
Okay, I'll just take a quick break while I dig out the page, because I don't see if I find the right page for the Hydra.
War Hydra has 3 attacks, plus 1 for each remaining wound. If this model is alive at the end of your turn, roll a d6 equal to the difference between the War Hydra's starting number of wounds and its current number of wounds.
Okay, so whatever it starts with, you roll that many dice, gotcha. So that's actually pretty crazy. That's even better than it was in terms of regeneration. It's better in the long run. It's worse in the short term. It means they have more survivability as the game goes on, but if you can get one decent good shot in, okay, for us, one decent Doomwheel roll, you will flatten it in one turn since it won't have any saves against it other than armor, assuming it still has that, which
still,
I'm sure it
still
does.
Got its 4 up scaly skim.
Yeah, but other than that, though, you'll flatten the thing. Because it won't have the ward save, which was the biggest deal. So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping that that actually ends up working out in the favor of most people. I think that as long as you focus on it enough in one turn, you'll kill it just fine. And then you don't have to even worry about it coming back after that, because it's already dead, obviously.
Yeah,
it doesn't have a will be back from the grave, anything silly
hopefully.
Like that.
The only worry with it is it's special now, so you can take 3 of them.
Yeah, well, it was special before, I thought.
I think they were rare before. So you can only have 2. but
I don't remember.
They were definitely rare before. You could definitely only have two before. Yeah, so you can give it a Fiery Breath upgrade that gives it a Strength 4 Breath weapon with Flaming Attack special rule. So it Breath weapon's always Strength 4 now, don't worry about the wounds. It also gets Spitfire, which is a Range 8, Strength Star, Flaming Attacks, Multiple Shots Star, where Star is the number of remaining wounds. So potentially a Strength 5, Multiple Shot 5, if you take Spitfire. But that's, you better use that every turn, whereas obviously a breath weapon will be one shot.
Right.
So, not sure whether that's 100% worth it, I guess. I think it's about 20. Yeah, both Fiery Breath and Spitfire are both 20 points. So
if you upgrade, it's 185. So, we'll see. Yeah, it definitely sounds more reasonable than it was. But
yeah,
anyway, it's a bit what about Blackguard? Or did we cover those and I missed it?
I think we did cover them. They're about the same, to be honest.
Right. I'm assuming they removed the 0 to 20 cap on them.
Yeah, just says 15 points a model. No. Oh, unit says 10 plus now.
Yeah, okay, yeah, good. Because that was dumb.
Yeah, so 15 points a model, Eternal Hatred and Stubborn, and Halberd and Heavy Armor.
So they're not bad.
Two attacks each. No, for 15 points, can't argue with that.
I mean, we might see some builds using those. In fact, I imagine we'll see some builds using those.
If everyone doesn't run stacks away, I think. Yeah, well, we'll maybe talk about at the end what builds we expect, but I think there's a few that kind of jump out.
Yeah.
So well, that's it for specials.
Assuming they don't immediately nerf Altar of Cain back into nothingness. Not the Altar of Cain, the Cauldron. Blood Cauldron. Cauldron of Blood back into nothingness right away.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know. It's really nasty as it is, so I don't.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that was intended. I definitely think that if they had any clue, they would have realized what that actually implied, but yeah, we'll see. Yeah, hopefully we'll see. They'll figure that out very quickly.
So in the rare slot, we've got Doomfire Warlocks. So this is going to be the dual kit with the Dark Riders, I think. So
okay.
They're 25 points a model, unit size 5+. And they've got... So they get two spells. They kind of work a little bit like horrors. So the unit gets two spells. They get Doombolt and, and Doom and Darkness.
Gotcha.
They get +1 to cast for every rank, for every additional rank. But I think people will probably take them in units of 5 or 6.
And just run them around and use the little Draft-Killy spell, essentially.
Yeah, that's it. And they get a 4-up ward save against everyone who's not Slaanesh. So they have some weakness to Slaanesh. These look really good. So they're going to be 125 points a unit. And they're going to get
Doom. Yeah, same. They sound dirt cheap.
They're going to get Doom and Darkness. Well, as I understand Doom and Darkness, if you cast it twice on the same unit, you'll double the effects, right? Same as you would with Wild Form. So they could knock 6 off your leadership.
Yeah.
So, that's not going to be fun. The Doomfire Warlocks look really good to me. There's a Bloodrack Medusa, which is unit size 1, monstrous infantry, 90 points. So it's kind of a bit of a bizarre monster. It's got like a
shoot. What does that thing do? I saw the model and that was one of the few things that actually caught my curiosity.
It's got like a killing blow shooting attack. It's like a gaze of, turns you into stone, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Avert Your Gaze. At the start of each close combat phase, 4 challenges are issued. Enemy models in base contact with this model must pass an initiative test or take Strength 4 hit with Killing Blow special rule.
Ah, okay. Not too bad.
So they look alright. They've got Bloodrack Stare as well, which is a range 12, Strength 4, Killing Blow, Multiple Shots 4, Shooting Attack. When rolling to wound with the shooting attack, subtract the target's toughness with its initiative value.
and no arm saves are permitted. Substitute the target's toughness with its initiative value.
Okay, that makes more sense. So it's strength 4, and then it's going to be testing against whatever the unit's initiative. So say Skaven Clan Rats initiative 4, forced to wound.
But it's it'd be forced to wound on the helper. Should be going against its initiative.
Yeah.
Kind of 3 to wound on a Chimera with its initiative 2. So yeah, that might be all right actually.
So it'd be great against monsters. Yeah. That's what sounds about right.
And
the Hellbit will get a would the? Yeah, I think the Hellbit gets regeneration against that.
No armor, but you still get regen.
Of course. And it's only killing blow, not heroic killing blow. But still, not half bad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
definitely an alternate way to take out high toughness monsters or units, which usually have low initiative.
Nice on heavy cavalry as well. Pretty nice on Empire Knights or whatever. No armor save, killing blow.
Oh yeah.
No armor save anyway.
That'll tear them apart.
They're only initiative 3, so wounded on 3.
Or Mournfangs or Khorne Juggernauts or Khorne Juggernauts I think are still initiative stupidly high.
They'll probably make them tougher to wound, but I think Demis are initiative 5 as well.
Well, they'd be probably about the same to wound, but they'd get no armor save.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah, no armor saves. No armor saves are pretty powerful. But you get the 90 points, you just get the 1. So you'll only be able to take 2. Well, I'd be interested to see when we see them.
They're still special, right?
No, these are rare.
Oh, these are rare now? Okay, well, that's justifiably so, too.
Yeah, I think so. You get the Charybdis is also in rare. So this guy.
This is the new awesome looking squig type Hydra weird thingy.
Yeah, this is the thing. So it's 160 points.
The thing.
It's movement 6, weapon skill 5, strength 7, toughness 5, 5 wounds, initiative 4, 5 attacks, leadership 6. So its special rules are it's got Abyssal Howl, Feast of Bones, and poisoned attacks. So I can't remember which is which. So I think Abyssal Howl is. Let's have a look. You got to reroll successful leadership tests in base to base with it, which is quite nice. And Feast of Bones, if it directs all of its close combat attacks against the same model and all of them hit, it takes you suffer an additional D6 strength 7 hits, which is kind of nice. But I think. Hitting 5 attacks is probably fairly rare, thank goodness. So
if this thing hits your guys with all its attacks, or if you hit it with all the possible attacks?
No, if it hits you, so only if it's on a single model. So if you're going against another monster or a character or whatever, if all of its attacks hit, it does an extra D6 strength 7 hit.
Yeah. And it's strength 7 to begin with?
And it's strength 7 to begin with.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But it's weapon skill what? And no hatred, right?
It's weapon skill 5, no hatred, so. Yeah.
Oh, but it is weapon skill 5, that's not bad.
So, it's debating on 3, so I think the chance of hitting with all 5s will probably be, 3 or 4%, but it's there, and it's kind of, it's nice enough. Yeah. It's 160 points, strength 7, so it's got strength 7 Thunderstomp, which would be kind of nice.
Yeah. And what about on the defensive side of things?
Just got Scaly Skin.
Just scaly skin. No regeneration, no regaining wounds, no.
No, none of the others. Just this one's pretty much just a straight up monster.
Interesting. We haven't had one of those in a while, though, which is nice. Yeah. So.
No upgrades or anything either. I'm quite surprised. And everything, all the monsters have upgrades now.
Though, what justifies that one as a rare choice is kind of beyond me. I would think that the Hydra would still be a rare choice, and that one would be the special choice.
You would think.
But maybe it's the strength 7. I mean, the Hydra's still strength 6, right?
That's strength 5, I think.
Oh, strength 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would probably be the reason then. Strength 7 is still pretty much a pretty big upgrade, because there's not much. I mean, there's very few things that toughness. Strength 7 is going to actually matter at a certain point, but most of those things are going to be toughness 5, 6, or notably 8. Like, it'll even wound the Sphinxes on 5 pluses instead of just 4, or instead of just 6s. It'll be handy at taking out monsters, of course, because strength 7 against monsters, usually tough 5 or tough 6, means either 2-ups or 3-ups.
It's initiative 4 as well, so I think it's probably going before quite a lot of the big monsters.
Yeah, exactly. And the Hellbit will go Simo with it, but that's not necessarily a big relief.
Yeah, So that's quite an interesting one. I'm be interested to see which way around all the Hydra kits they sell get built.
I still imagine we'll see a majority of Hydras compared to those things, though, because their utility is just going to be a lot more better.
Yeah, I think so. So what else? So there's the Bloodrack Shrine, which is kind of the Cauldron of Blood dual kit. That's just the Medusa rides around on. I did have the page when I looked at the
Medusa. And that one is a rare, not a character mount.
That's right. Yeah. Then you get that one comes with a Medusa. Well, it comes with a Medusa on top as well. So that's quite interesting. So you could, you could get four of the Medusa shooting attacks if you take two of the shrines. So they're 175 points. Pretty much does what the Medusa does. The main advantage with it, it's got Aura of Agony, so all Dark Elves within 6 inch get plus 1 leadership. All enemies within 6 inches get minus 1 leadership.
Interesting. I'm definitely seeing what you're talking about with the reoccurring theme of less leadership.
Yeah, so the Warlocks do leadership, the Bloodrack Shrine does leadership, one of the Dark Magic spells does leadership, the Charybdis does leadership, so yeah, there's going to be...
What did the Charybdis do to leadership again? Just
Reroll successful
in base contact. In base contact, yeah.
So at the worst, it cancels out your BSB reroll.
Right, but with Doom and Darkness, but how many... The alternate rider guys, the Warlocks on horses, essentially.
Yeah.
They had Doom and Darkness as a bound spell.
Well, just as a... It's not a bound spell, it's their spell.
Okay.
So, yeah, so but they always get that, and other wizards can have it. So, yeah, if you take like a level 4 on Dark Magic, well, you get their minus 1 leadership spell. You could get 2 minus 3 leadership spells off the Warlocks. I think it's could be pretty evil.
And it does say in the book that they can stack. There's no problem against it. I don't think they were anticipating that to happen, but...
Well, you can use them on spells once, can't you? But yeah, I mean, I'll say
No, there's nothing that says you can't use them more than once.
But the... I mean, Wild Form certainly stacks, so I don't see why...
Yeah, no, you're right. And it does say that Hexes stack as well. It cannot reduce the stat below 0, or below 1, rather, unless otherwise noted.
But once you've brought it down to 1, it's good enough, right?
But I was going to say, when it's already brought down to 1, you can literally not pass a leadership test.
I think double 1's still auto-pass, but... I think leadership might be a special case. It can't be reduced below 2.
Double 1's is auto-pass no matter what. But other than that, I mean, you can bring it down to 1 or 2, and that alone is just like, hey, guess what? You are...
Well, I mean, even if you can bring it down to 4 and get rid of the BSB reroll...
Yeah.
It's awfully chancy on hanging around, isn't it?
And Dark Elves, of course, still have... Their level 4 still have access to not just Dark Magic, but they've also probably still got Death, I imagine, and probably
The internet, Fire. I didn't look it up. The internet rumors say that they have access to all of the laws.
That would be surprising, but...
I'll look... check that out, because that's one of the things I didn't think to check that's been... It's been fact on the internet for long enough that... Yep, Sorceress is a wizard. Do you use spells from the Law of Dark Magic or one of the 8 laws from the Battle Magic from the Warhammer rulebook?
Shiza.
But it's still going to be Death, because Death's amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, I'm sure they'll use... Well, Shadow, Death. Shadow is always probably one of the better lores out there. Dark sounds pretty good, though, so I don't imagine... I mean, we'll see. I'm sure Death would be amazing with it because the combinations from there... and the Warlocks, and all these leadership modifiers coming into play at once. You can pretty much ignore, like, 1 Doom and Darkness, usually. 1 minus 3 test is on 1 unit is not going to ruin your battle plan. And if it's really critical, you'll take the extra, you know, Dispel Dice to get rid of it. Yeah. And you'll suffer that, you know, Pit of Shades that hits you next. But...
Yeah,
if they're throwing like 3 of those
twice,
a turn,
it's a lot less fun, isn't it?
Then you're gonna have a lot less. Yeah, you're not gonna have the amount of dispel dice required to play with that. So it'll be interesting. I think you'll still only be able to nuke 1 unit like that in a turn, and that's suggesting you get all of those off.
It needs to be 1 though, doesn't it? That's the if they take out your biggest unit. Well,
that's true. But then you got to rely on also winning the combat, because it doesn't matter their leadership 1 unless you actually force them to take a leadership test.
Yeah, that's true. You still got to beat the combat, but it's Yeah. So anyway, I'll cover the last unit in the book, and then we'll see if we've got anything else to say. So Sisters of Slaughter is the last unit. So these are the
ultimate. Oh wait. We never the Bloodrack Shrine. We didn't really get into that. I diverted us too quickly.
Yeah. So basically, it's got a Bloodrack Medusa riding on it, and it does the it does a leadership minus one leadership for them, plus one leadership for you. That seems to be pretty much it, to be honest.
Wait, that's it?
Well, it's a chariot, so it's got scythes, so it's... Yeah, so I guess you could use it as a...
Can it pop into a unit?
Yeah, you can still put it in a unit, same as the...
Cauldron.
Same as you can with the cauldron. And it's strength 5, toughness 6, 5 wounds. So, yeah, make a nice little addition for whatever unit you want to put it in.
Interesting. Alright, then the last one, the super rare infantry choice.
Yeah, the Sisters of Slaughter. So these are 15 points each, weapon skill 6, strength and toughness 3, initiative 6, 2 attacks, hand weapon and shield. So they've got always strikes first, and they've got Dance with Death, which if they're fighting someone who's got better weapon skill than them, they get plus 1.
Which is going to be very difficult, but yeah.
Not going to be that many people. They get plus 1 to hit, plus 1 to wound.
Okay, that seems actually... Wait, is that it? Am I missing something here? Yeah. They have a ward save? Do they have...
No, they don't have ward save. The other thing they do is... I just think I'm giving you these the wrong way around. I think that was Tribal Blades.
So are they skirmishers?
Nope.
They're rank and file? Yeah, okay, so what's this other thing then?
The other thing is they can pick one unit that they're in base-to-base contact with and they ignore its ranks.
Okay, there we go. That's actually worth something.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that first was just like, they're never going to get to use this. There's like, there are exactly zero units in the game that have more than weapon skill 6, and there are only a few characters that have more than weapon skill 6 for that matter. But, I mean, in weapon skill 6, initiative 6 is pretty great, and always strike first is all right, but there's still only, what, 2 attacks each? So... And at 15 points a pop, if you just shoot a magic missile at these guys, they're going to burst into flames and die really fast.
Toughness 3, no armor, just shield.
Yeah, exactly, just shield. So 6 up armor save, which basically in modern day terms is a 0 up armor save. I mean, shield and light armor maybe, but still, it's pretty expensive. So, but yeah, the ability to be like, okay, this unit has no ranks is...
Yeah, I think that's...
If they can make it into combat, and I'm assuming they're move 5 or 4...
Yeah, move 5.
I think move 5.
The same as elves, just about everything in the books move 5. The odd things move...
Right.
Odd things are higher, but...
So they'll... I mean, they'll hit combat pretty fast. There'll be something you'll want to focus on before it hits, like, a unit of slaves, because even though a unit of slaves will probably... Well, wait. One second. Is it rank bonus or ranks?
They ignore you. They get rid of your rank bonus, so they'll kill. You won't get the combat res for your extra ranks.
Okay, then that's not that
great. You won't
get
your strength in numbers.
We won't see that. We won't see it happen that often.
Yeah,
if at all.
But you don't.
If it was like get rid of ranks, like completely eliminate ranks as a concept, then they'd be awesome, and they would destroy everything on the planet if they could make it into combat. But getting rid of rank bonus is nothing new. Britonia has been doing it for a while with their silly banner. I mean, it's minus 3 leadership for Skaven. That hurts, but you're still testing leadership 7 rerollable. I mean, assuming you don't have the gigantic penalty from all the other stuff in the Dark Elf army, which would be a good combination. But against other teams that don't even really rely on rank bonus that much... They're going to hit you first, they're going to hurt you, and then if you've got any decent rank and file unit left to fight back, which every team will because their units are going to be twice as cheap, like Empire Halberds, for instance. So that a unit of, 20 of those guys runs into 40 Empire Halberds. They're going to chop up, 10, maybe if they're lucky, 15, and then the Halberds are going to absolutely butcher them.
Yeah, this is the thing, I'm not, you've always got to have a bad choice, right? But I mean, these guys are.
Yeah.
You take a horde of 30, it'll be 450 points, or you could have a horde of 40 witch elves for the same points.
Yeah, exactly. And the witch elves,
attacks and come out of car.
Right, they're gonna have more attacks. They're gonna be always strike first. Still, they come out of core, which alone is a huge bonus. they're just going to be more efficient. I mean, again, if it had a way to cancel out Steadfast, that would be awesome. But otherwise, I just don't see why, barring some unusual circumstances or for some fun situations, I just can't see them being used that often. So compared to Witch Elves, which do sound a lot better, or at least unchanged. So.
Yeah, so I think...
Because there's just not enough that's weapon skills 6 and initiative 6 that you're going to want to hit. I mean, against other elves, they'll be awesome, I guess.
So I'll just take a quick break while I look up and find out exactly what the rules do. Okay, so the Trial of Blades, they get a +1 to hit and 2 wound if at least one enemy model in base-to-base contact with a unit has a higher weapon skill or strength.
So that is there actually quite good.
So if there's a character in there... There's a good chance.
It's not. Is there a good chance? Yeah, if there's a character
in there
who isn't an elf, then they get it.
And down to the.
Because even humans and Skaven have characters with strength.
Oh, and they do. They do get a +4 ward save in close combat. But the unit receives no combat result bonus for extra ranks this turn. Okay, yeah, so welcome back.
The turn they charge?
So we'll go over the Sisters of Slaughter rules now. I've had a chance to find the right page. So the Dance of Death, it says, models with this special rule have a 4+ ward save against attacks made in close combat. In addition, at the start of each round of combat, each unit of Sisters of Slaughter chooses one enemy unit in base contact. That unit receives no combat results bonus for extra ranks this turn. Models in that unit cannot make parish saves this turn. It's quite nice as well.
Gotcha.
So that's
a shame for me, but
yeah, that's all right. And then the Trial of Blades is the full rule for that is models with this rule receive +1 to hit and to wound if at least one enemy model in base contact with a unit has a higher weapon skill or strength characteristic.
So it's strength, not initiative. That makes much more sense.
So strength. So yeah. So if there's a character in there.
So basically, their goal is they want to go tango with the Chaos Warriors.
Yeah, I think they do pretty well against Chaos Warriors.
I don't know.
The Zinch Sword and Bard guys would be really annoyed.
They're cheaper than them technically, I guess, and you'll be able to throw them at them and say you have no rank bonus, so no static combat res. You're going to be no parry save, which is definitely going to hurt, especially. Well, Zinch won't be super hurt. They'll still get their 6-up ward. They just won't get a 5-up ward.
Yeah, so against that's not warriors, awesome. You'd be hitting on 3s, wounded on 4s. You'd be taking 1 off the... I'm assuming they have the typical
Dark Elf rule that says they re-roll the wounds to... the 1s to wound.
Yeah, still got the murderous prowess, so they'll still re-roll the 1s.
Right. So, and they'll always strike first. It'll be rerolling to hit. So, that's not at all bad. Plus, you said they get it's +1 strength and +1 weapon skill for anything that has more strength or weapon skill.
It's +1 to hit and +1 to wound. Yeah,
Wait.
Yeah, sorry. We're probably not making this very clear.
It's +1 to hit and +1 to wound, not +1 strength and +1 weapon skill.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, that's disgusting. +1 to hit implies that they will hit things on 2s at some point, potentially. Chaos Warriors strength. Oh god. Yes. Now I understand their purpose.
Yeah,
their purpose is to beat the crap out of Chaos Warriors.
They hit Chaos Warriors on 2s, wound
because they'll
fours.
Hit them on 2s, they'll wound them on 4s.
It'd be -1 to their armor, then they won't get a parry save.
Right. And yeah, they won't get a parry save. They'll reroll all their hits against them. They'll reroll all the 1s to wound against them. Oh my god, that's disgusting. And they'll have a 4-up ward save against anything the Chaos Warriors throw against them, which isn't, you know, as awesome as having a great armor save to balance that out a little bit, but a 4-up ward save is nothing to complain about. Plus, it's just while they're in close combat. It's not just during the combat phase, so, I mean, it depends. I need the book in front of me.
4+ ward save against attacks made in close combat.
Okay, I was going to say, if it's just in close combat, it's like, as soon as we're in close combat, we're good. But... no, my solution to them is Skaven would still be throw units of slaves and that direction.
Yeah, definitely. Or just shoot them.
Yeah, or shoot them. Magic yeah, because they definitely that is their one most obvious and glaring weakness is you throw a bit of warp lighting in that direction, you will probably see six of them fall over. Because they've got nothing against anything magic missile style. And that, I think, may be the reason we still don't see them get taken that often. Because while they may be an awesome option in close combat, they've got to get there. They got to get there intact enough to actually do something. Because, I mean, sure, they may be awesome, but if you start out with, you know, let's throw arbitrary number 20 out there, which is pretty small, even for a Dark Elf unit.
This is the thing, is I think small units won't make it in a combat. Big units are going to be too expensive.
Right, and that's the worry, because if you do a really big unit, then you're hinging on that unit making it there. It's the same problem we have with the what's his name? Queek's unit. The Storm Vermin unit that's essentially Dark Elves.
Yeah.
I mean, if we invest too much in that unit, then it's going to get focused fired down and obliterated to the point where it's useless by the time it gets into close combat. We have better options for dealing with that in the fact that we can be like, okay, we'll throw up a Storm Banner, now you can't shoot me. We'll throw up Gutter Runners to kill War Machines, which are incredibly efficient at that. You know, we'll throw up Rat Darts to block anything that we don't want to fight it, that actually will beat it. We have better options to actually negate the downsides of taking a unit that big that's that obviously a target. A unit like that, though, if you take a really small unit of it, you're only going to have to focus a little bit at it to basically take it out of action. You don't even have to kill it.
150 points. Yeah. One magic missile and it's going to be completely ineffective.
Exactly. You throw, I mean, say your Empire, you throw a fireball at them, if you play with fire, which most people don't anymore. You throw something at them, some basic magic missile. I think most people are toying around with light right now for the most part. So you throw a Burning Gaze, I think.
Burning Gaze.
And then, I mean, they're going to be toast. You fry half of them before they even make it to combat. The other 10 aren't going to be able to do anything. If you take a unit of 40 to begin with, then they're just going to drop any... You won't have enough points to afford anything.
You're not going to take a huge unit, because I reckon you're going to want... You know, I mean, I don't see how the Warlocks aren't going to be an automatic choice. So that's kind of 250 of your air points gone.
Oh, Warlocks are rares, not special?
Yeah, so the Doomfire Warlocks are rares as well, yeah, so...
Okay, so that's pretty much required. Yeah, that makes sense. You're limited points in your choices there. Yeah. And those guys don't have Frenzy, right? They're still just two attacks?
Still just two attacks.
So against things like Slaves, sure, they'll beat the absolute snot of them, but like every other thing, Slaves will whittle them away slowly but surely, and you'll have plenty of them left. Because with only two attacks, I mean, what... You'll get, and plus only one of those can be made as a supporting attack. So if you're fighting, if Slaves are doing it properly, which is five wide, as many deep.
Yeah, they can only get seven in, so that's 21 attacks.
Right, exactly. And then throw maybe one champion attack in there, because I'm assuming they have a champion of some type. So yeah, 22 attacks. They will definitely hit them on, you know, threes, and they'll wound them on
threes, wound them on fours, yeah.
So they're actually really bad at fighting Slaves because they're basically normal troops almost. They'll hit them on threes, one of them on fours. They'll have a four up armor ward save and a six up. Well, no, they'll just have a six up armor and then a four up ward.
Yep.
They don't combine. But then, I mean, the Slaves will be at fives to hit them, but all the Slaves have to do is get a five to hit them and a four to wound them, and then just count on failing a couple armor saves. So the elves will kill them really fast, but no faster than a unit of repeater bows would, and the repeater bows will have almost the exact same armor, or they'll have a five up armor and a six up ward instead of a six up armor and a four up ward, so they're almost identical in every way, and they'll be able to shoot you a lot. So for us, I'm not worried too much. For other teams, like if you play like demons and chaos and that kind of thing, that would be where I would actually have some concern for that, but I don't know how much efficiency we'll see in an all-comers list from them.
Yeah, I think the whole thing, I would quite like to kind of written up a couple of army lists, but I just didn't have time.
It does sound like there's going to be a lot of different types of builds. Like, I definitely can see one revolving around the idea of trying to blast leadership down and just hit everything with leadership nukes and watch everything. Basically, Terror Bomb from 7th edition.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's kind of the build that's got me worried. Is the big leadership the big leadership bombing.
But the last time the leadership worry heckfest came up was when the Tomb Kings got their mask of uber awesomeness, and it was a great item, but it meant that, I mean, it showed how much of a problem it turned out to be for the Tomb Kings in the long run, which was you just couldn't back that item up with good fighting units if you invested too many points into that type of style of play. So
yeah, it's kind of what I'm hoping with them. There's loads of stuff that's really awesome. You know, there's definitely loads of stuff in the book that's great. But it is cool. It's not expensive, but it's kind of quite expensive.
I'm hoping that you can't take everything.
That's kind of. But until I've had a chance to have a proper look through. But they probably won't be able to do the shooty avoidance stuff quite as well. They don't have the pendant, they don't have the Cloak of Hadgraith, so
they seem to have, for the most part, taken out a lot of the biggest grievances. The no more reverse ward save Dreadlords of Stupidity. Which gives me less of a reason to take gloves now. That's actually sad.
I've just been looking at my latest list, my newest list. I've stuck 10 gloves in.
Hydra's, I mean, no ward save definitely will probably tone down the rage against them. We'll see how effective their regenerating heads rule is.
I think that's less of a worry now. I think they're definitely easy to kill.
But
you'll have to kill them. You won't have quickly, to kill them. You kind of, yeah. You're gonna want to kill them. So you're gonna, you know, even if it takes you two turns, you're gonna have to hit it and hit it again. You're not gonna want to hit it and then come back, kind of three or four turns later, because it's gonna be back up to full strength. So that's. But yeah, I don't think they're quite as good. But yeah, now you can take three. So yeah, I guess we'll see. We're looking forward
I see lots of potential. I definitely like the style of it. It sounds much better organized than previous books.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget you can catch us on Facebook as Skaven Blight Radio. We're on Twitter at Skaven Blight Rad, or you can catch us on the underempire.net forums, and we'll see you next time.